You're listening to MySpiritRadio.com. Join the community, get involved, and share the wisdom. The Amanda Hart Show, in association with New Level Fitness. Energize your body, empower the soul, and awaken the mind. Call 079-200-4758 or visit www.newlevelfitness.com and start changing your world from within. Soul Searching with Amanda Hart.
Welcome back from the break, and with us today we have Dr. Susan Anthony, who's talking to us about her teachings, her work with global concerns, and of course this part of the show we're going to be talking about her amazing story of transformation, which has led her to the path she walks today. Hi Susie, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
Now your story really commences with the pain and hardship of a difficult and impoverished childhood. Was this the springboard for you, Susie, for entering the world of high society and amassing your personal fortune in your early adult life?
It definitely was. I felt incredible fear and pain as a child, having been left destitute and impoverished by my father, and that fear drove me to achieve.
Now, do you feel that our childhood is the basis then for all our tomorrows, and that perhaps when what we're programmed to do may certainly not be what we desire to become when we were children?
That's another great question. Without doubt, what an innocent child with an open heart and a limitless imagination wishes to be is very different to what the same child believes it can be after all the hard knocks and conditioning typical in our normal family upbringing and educational systems as well. There's a lot more about that on my website.
Now, what would you say makes some of us turn negative programming into positive behaviour and accomplish life paths, and some of us use that negativity to further the damage in our lives, do you think, Susie?
Well, I could spend all day answering that question, but the answer in a nutshell is free will and karma. We're all here to learn lessons. It's Earth School here, I believe. Each and every one of us has at least one life-changing event. It may be the death of a loved one, divorce, redundancy, or something else that causes the personality to meet the spirit, some kind of great loss. And at these times, we're given the opportunity to choose which voice we're going to listen to. But it depends on free will and karma in terms of how we proceed.
Now, despite your increasing affluence when you were a young adult, your lifestyle was not bringing you the pleasures that you thought it would bring you when you first set out on this journey. What was missing then?
We've touched on this briefly with Dharma. What was missing was conscious awareness of a true life purpose and any higher meaning in my life. I kept trying to fill the void in me with people, places, things, but this didn't work. I was hurt. I was afraid. But ultimately, this breaking down of beliefs was the springboard I needed to break through and reconnect to spirit, find a higher path, find my true purpose and the real reason for being here. And again, I could do a whole workshop on this question, but that's the concise answer.
So what was it that finally made you realize that this lifestyle that you'd developed was creating more pain? And what did you go through during that time, Susie?
Well, I was 32. I had it all, money, power, looks, status, possessions, but nothing worked. Everything in the Martini ad I had, Hollywood, Cosmo magazine said I should have, do, and be. I was. But I was bored, discontented. And I realized the man I was working for was greedy and corrupt. He was the fifth richest man on earth, a Japanese. And I realized you didn't get to be that rich by being honest and good. Yet I couldn't leave. My ego was hooked on all the glamour, the false external symbols of power. I had a big life and great big bills, high maintenance. I began to hate myself for staying, and I lost all my energy. I developed ME. Still, I wouldn't listen to the call of spirit to change and transform. I began to take drugs to give me artificial energy, and I became addicted. And eventually, after a great deal of suffering and pain, I died of an overdose in addiction. Yet ultimately, this was the key to unlock the mysteries for me. It was a harvest, the unexpected reward, if you like. was to experience divine intervention, angelic assistance, loving kindness, forgiveness. And ultimately, I was able to rebirth into my best self, create my best life and best destiny. It was all an incredible experience, a miracle that changed my life.
Now, incredibly, as a result of these near-death experiences, you've been blessed to receive, through direct knowing, vital spiritual knowledge at this crucial crossroads in human evolution. How did this all appear to you, and over what period of time did you go through this awakening?
Well, let me think now. I'll have to ponder. It probably was about 15 years. I've been guided by the angelics and various shamanic animal power totems guides for a chain of synchronistic and really unusual events to various spiritual and psychological teachings. I met all kinds of spiritual people, powerful people, seers who recognized my awakening state. I was always led synchronistically to the people who taught me the various teachings that I'm now synthesizing in my work. I was destined to help others and then teach everything I'd learned. I really did learn incredible things from each of these teachings, but no one of them contained all the pieces of the puzzle. No one teacher in particular and no one path had all the knowledge, the wisdom, the truth, the healing, the magic, or the faith. And constantly within, my spiritual guides taught me. They revealed secrets to me. And then to my surprise, each teacher I was guided to taught me in the physical world exactly the same information that I had just learned from within. You have to admit, Amanda, that's a really powerful way of learning.
Absolutely.
And it's lasted for, practically 15 years now. It's still happening today.
Yeah. So you've really just gathered each piece of the jigsaw along the way to put the whole picture across to people.
Exactly.
Now, you listen to the angelic realm for guidance since you discovered your guardian angel who rescued you literally from the dead, so to speak. Now, how can we tune into the higher realms, Susie, especially when we're so busy with our external lives, and how can we benefit from doing this?
Well, just take a few minutes out each day. Just ask. I mean, everyone has angels around them. And when we're doing good work, angels help us to be successful. When our works are in harmony with the big picture, legions of angels are attracted to assist us. And when our plans and dreams come true swiftly through a series of seemingly amazing synchronicities, then we're observing the power of angels at work. Everyone has a guardian angel who's always with them, radiating love and light and power. And what I've learned is that before we were born, all of us made a divine contract about how we intended to achieve our dharma on earth, our heroic mission. But at birth, most of us, due to the low energy vibration of physical reality, we forgot our big plan. And we've already touched on this. And the spiritual life is about waking up and remembering why we're really here. The angels have never forgotten. They know what our birth plan is. They're constantly guiding us towards achieving this special destiny. All we have to do is ask. We will receive.
Now, you explain that the most meaningful experiences in life come from mistakes, heartbreak, and pain. And this concept forms the core of your particular synthesis of spiritual teachings. Do you feel that perhaps those who suffer the most have the greatest ability to teach?
Definitely. There's no greater teacher than someone who has repaired or healed their own wound, the healed, wounded healer. How can someone transmit what they don't have or haven't experienced? It's impossible to learn this stuff simply from reading a book or attending a workshop. Those things are important, but the bottom line is the teacher must be able to teach from experience and be a living example.
Now, you've developed and teach something called PSA Life Mastery, and on a scientific, esoteric level, you say it raises our personal electromagnetic energy vibration so that it's no longer possible to accommodate or hold lower frequency or negative thoughts or feelings. Can you explain to us what this method is all about, Susie?
Yep. Here you're referring to the energy mastery aspect of my work, where I teach people how to open their chakras and tune into powerful universal life force energies. I mean, Reiki is a system that I work with here. And working with Reiki daily helps to create balance and empowerment How? Well, negative thoughts and feelings cause disease. Disease boils down to an obstruction basically in our life flow through the chakras or through the meridians, where either an excess or an absence of energy is causing an obstruction. Reiki basically puts energy back or distributes excessive energy elsewhere into the body, and the result is balance and empowerment. And quite simply, negative energies can no longer attach to an energy field that's being cleared like this daily.
Now, we're just going for a quick break again, Susie, but when we come back, we'll be talking to you about your global projects, which you're involved in, together with a one-day workshop that you're hosting with Hazel Courtney, an amazing alternative health journalist and author. So we'll be back with you shortly. See you after the break.
The Amanda Hart Show, in association with New Level Fitness. Energize your body, empower the soul, and awaken the mind. Call 0792004758 or visit www.newlevelfitness.com and start changing your world from within. You're listening to MySpiritRadio.com.
There are times that when truth and kindness conflict, one ought to choose kindness, especially when a little honesty is better than a lot. Leroy Jack Syrup.
Amrat Lal believes he's been cursed. He's been seeing his substantial claim against a financial advisor through the death by paperwork that is the complaints procedure. He believes the IFA took a sample of his hair and some belongings. Since then, he's been hearing voices. It scares hell out of him. I'm not surprised. It would me too. I'm not keen to define things. This is pretty much a rule with me, insofar as I have rules. My central premise is that I will go with the flow unless I have a better idea. And sometimes I do. That, I think, is the Tao. The medieval law of excluded middle, that is, everything is itself and not another thing, the platform on which all linear thinking is constructed, I like to treat as more of a suggestion than a law. So, I'm reluctant to give too much energy to the idea of a curse. Still, Amrat Lal, already ill and in an east-west house that has taken major feng shui work to turn around, still needs comfort and relief. Only the good is true, I remind him. Everything else is a mistake. How do I use that? He asks. When you feel fear, simply give it love. Whatever it is that brings this fear, and it could be many things simultaneously or separately, just wants love like you or me. It's not your fear. Just give it love. How? Think of someone you love and just feel. Nobody can curse you if you're not playing that game. If you're playing in the world of shortcuts and march stealing, there's always another smartass. Don't try to win. Curses exist in the world of winning and losing. Winning and losing exist in the world of shortage and competition. There is no shortage and no need for competition. There is plenty of everything to go around. Simply accept what is so without aspiring to victory. I first came across these ideas in the Course in Miracles, and like any truth, discovering them was a process of recognition. Because these are universal ideas, they're not part of any discipline, feng shui, religion, whatever, and belong to all.